Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we consider everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am your host, John Davis. On this show, we do not obsess over the end of the world, but rather we are looking to see the glory of God show up in every area of our lives. We are not waiting to go down in glorious defeat. We are expecting to win. Greetings, victorious kingdom ambassadors. Welcome back to the Gospel of Everything podcast. I am John Davis, your host and talker-in-chief. I am looking forward to sharing with you today some things that will hopefully change and empower your life. The Gospel of Everything podcast is where we, you and me, consider all of life in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and where I am looking to inspire, connect with, and mobilize you, my fellow victorious kingdom ambassadors. What is a victorious kingdom ambassador? A victorious kingdom ambassador is someone who is not looking obsessively for the end of the world, but rather is looking to bring God's kingdom more and more into the world, both now and in eternity. A victorious kingdom ambassador is someone who is not looking to change the world by humanistic, man-made ideas, but rather by embracing God's revelation in everything that flows from it. A victorious kingdom ambassador is someone who is not looking to be saved by another political government scheme, but looking rather to be saved by Christ and then expecting to live out Christ in every area of life. Please take a moment to pause and subscribe to this podcast in your favorite app before moving on to make sure that you never miss an episode. One of the ways I learn the great things that I like to talk about in this podcast is from observing my own youth. So I want to take you back to a young John Davis, zealous for the eternal. And I remember actually standing up and teaching people that only evangelism, relationships with people, and relationships with God matter. Only eternal things matter. Nothing else matters to God. We should focus exclusively on these things. I was a young Keith Green. I was calling people to missions and didn't see the value in doing anything else. But I was shaken up when I studied the entire Bible in 2002 during my School of Biblical Studies and noticed how a lot of the material in there is about living in the material world and loving your neighbor practically in this world. Lots about practical justice. So I wonder, is it possible that some of the things in this world that we think of as natural are in a sense also spiritual, at least in the sense that they matter to God and are holy and good and inherently valuable? Do excellence, beauty, practical love, and creativity in this material reality have inherent value? What about excellence at work? What about creativity in business? What is meant by this world, or being not of this world anyways? I suspect that the contrast that we find in this between this world and the future world in the Bible is not about an end to this material world, and then this material world being replaced by a different material world, but rather it is about an end to the corrupt kingdoms of men and the corrupt kingdom of the devil, and all of this being replaced with the kingdom of God. So biblical instructions about not being of this world has to do with not being of the evil kingdoms of darkness, but rather being part of the kingdom of light, and is not about departing from material reality. I want you to consider with me Abraham, a sojourner like us. But he was only like an alien. He was actually in the land that his descendants would eventually inherit. So let's read Hebrews 11:8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand in the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Now, I want you to notice something. Abraham was a sojourner and an alien in the land that his future descendants were going to conquer. Do you understand that? His descendants were going to occupy the actual land he was in. So there was a sense in which he was an alien and a foreigner. And this is a common theme for us as Christians, that we're aliens, we're strangers, wandering through in a place that is not our own. But it's only a place that is not our own in the sense that it isn't fully manifest of the kingdom of God yet. But this is our land. The land we're on now is our land. This is a big mistake that I believe is made in our time, and in fact, that has been a mistake made throughout the history of the church, interpreting being spiritual or heavenly rather than worldly as to mean this material existence is yuck, so I'm going to be super spiritual. If you were to take my worldview class with me, you would learn about animism versus naturalism or secularism versus a Christian worldview. And one of the things that you would learn is that in animism, the whole world is like a spiritual reality, and it's only a spiritual reality. The material is like an illusion, right? In naturalism, there's only a material world. So in animism, only the universe or the spiritual world are important and valuable. In naturalism, only the material world is important and valuable. One of the unique aspects of Christianity and the teachings of the Bible is that both the natural material world and the spiritual heavenly world are both real and important. There isn't a one or the other kind of a thing. You can read in Genesis how God made everything and said over and over again that it was good. Human beings living, pairing up, male and female, having children, loving and worshiping God, loving and serving one another, taking dominion in the earth for the mutual benefit of one another, and so on. This is a beautiful and good world. It is not an evil material reality that needs to be discarded in favor of being more spiritual. We all know the sad story of how Adam and Eve fell into sin. Darkness came into the world, including into the material world. But material reality did not become inherently evil. God did not revoke the mandates to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion, not even after the fall. Here's a fun mind exercise to do sometime. Imagine fulfilling the commands of God in Genesis. Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the animals. And then imagine what it would be like to live these things out if there was no sin in the world. There was no selfishness. There was no evil. Everybody was loving one another. What would that be like? Do you realize you would still be doing work and labor? You would still be doing creativity and problem solving? You would still be trying to find ways to produce more food out of less space, or how to take the things of the earth and create new things that would better your life and the lives of your neighbors? There are certain things that we think of as evil that would have been going on even if no evil had entered into the world. You may find that some things which you consider to be inherently evil actually existed before the fall into sin. Work, for example, is one of those things. Work is not evil. At some point, we know Jesus will bodily return to this place, this earth, to put the final touch on the restoration of all of the created order. Okay, we know that. So it must be good, right? Sometimes Christians seem to have been infected by the idea that all of the biblical language pitting flesh against the spirit or the world against spiritual things means that the created order is itself bad or evil. We should therefore look to some kind of a higher plane or spiritual realm and focus on those things instead. Well, this is really just the ancient heresy of Gnosticism. I'm not going to go into that in detail because we've only got so much time for this podcast, but do a bit of research into what Gnosticism was and is, and you may find that some of it has gotten into your head. You may be surprised that some of those kind of Gnostic or even animistic ideas have gotten into your head, kind of an animistic version of Christianity, where it's all high pie in the sky, super spiritual stuff. It's really not hard to see how this came about. Some of the New Testament appears to be teaching these things. I mean, are we not supposed to escape the world? Well, if by the world you mean escape material reality, then no, you're not supposed to escape. We are to escape the corruption of fallen human culture and kingdom of our fallen natures, but not to escape from material reality. Getting the world out of your life does not mean getting beauty, work, creativity, love, pleasure, joy, art, music, etc. out of your life. It means getting rid of falsehood and moral corruption. If you want to go into error, think like in the Star Wars movies where you have to get rid of all your passions. This is Eastern religion, not Christianity. Having to get rid of all those things that God made, that God designed about you. It is a corrupt ethical system and corrupt motives and lies that need to be done away with, not material reality. There is a world that is heading for destruction, but it is not this material reality. It is the evil kingdoms and ways of this world, meaning the cultures of man, the kingdom of Satan, evil. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about how the earth in ancient times was destroyed by water, but will in the future be destroyed by fire. So there's often an assumption that kind of at the end of time, this world, the physical material reality is literally going to be kind of vaporized, melted, and replaced with something else. I'm going to say, honestly, I'm not totally sure about that, but I suspect it's using a symbolic language to talk about the end of sin and evil. So does that passage mean that the material creation will literally be obliterated into non-existence and replaced with an alternative creation? Is that what is meant in some places by a new heavens and a new earth? I submit that the important part here is that the fallen human systems and its member humans and all the demons and the devil himself will be destroyed and cast into fire, not that a literal alternative material creation will be created in place of the current one. You will find passages in the Bible, like in 2 Peter, that make it sound like a cataclysmic event will end creation as we know it. You will find other passages, such as in Ecclesiastes 1:4, that talk about the earth enduring forever. The best explanation is that the language that talks about new heavens and new earth is more about all corruption in heaven and earth being burned out. Keep in mind that when Peter talks about the flood destroying the earth, the material creation remained. So the Bible uses a language that the earth was destroyed by a flood, but the material reality remained, including the planet that we call earth. It was the order of the day, the living creatures and the humans, that were wiped out. So it does not mean that material creation disappeared and was recreated. I suspect that the end of all things, when Jesus bodily returns, and however exactly that is going to work, does not mean an end to this material reality and a replacement with another. In the flood, in a very real way, the old world, a sinful fallen man and his systems and ways was utterly destroyed. So there was a sense in which the world was destroyed, but the material reality did not vanish and get recreated. Again, I suspect something similar with the new heavens and the new earth. They refer to a heavens with no devil and an earth fully redeemed. So will there be literal fire when Jesus bodily returns here? I honestly don't know for sure. But of this I am sure. Either the literal material creation remains but is purified of evil, or even if there is a literal replacement material creation, which I don't think there is, but even if I'm wrong and there is, our training here in this one is preparing us for a very real that one. I lean towards the idea that the current material creation will remain forever and be redeemed fully by God. But why am I going into all this? Why does this matter? Because I believe it is a significant error that has probably gotten into your very soul and mind that material equals evil and spiritual equals good. When God made all created things, he called them good. The corruption is a moral, ethical, spiritual corruption in the hearts of mankind and in the kingdom of Satan. We know from the curse on the earth in Genesis and from what we see around us that the creation itself was tainted. But it has not become inherently evil, just corrupted by the sin of man. The implications of this are great. God told you and me to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion before the fall of man occurred. And before the poisoning of material creation occurred, God created Eve and joined Adam and Eve together before the fall of man into sin and the poisoning of material creation. God told them to take dominion in the earth and subdue the earth and rule the living creatures before the fall of man into sin and the poisoning of material creation. And God is redeeming everything to himself. What I am getting at is this. Marriage and family are good and beautiful and are important to God. Work, labor, creativity, dominion, these things are good and beautiful and important to God. Let's talk about some practical implications of this in your life. When you go to work, are you just suffering through the horrible, corrupted material world? Or are you going to take dominion for the kingdom of God? Is the whole view that I just work for the man, I'm just suffering, is that how God wants you to view work? Do you do your job just to somehow be a witness and maybe get a few people saved? Is that what it means to bring God to work? Or does your service to your fellow man and to God through your labor actually have inherent value before God? Is it a part of who you are and what you are meant to be? It breaks my heart how many Christians are suffering through life waiting to be done with everything and get on to heaven, not realizing that they are meant to bring the kingdom, authority, and rulership of heaven onto the earth right now. I will not lie to you. I understand the yearning to be free of, quote, this world, that yearning for eternity. But I am personally challenged to rethink and realize that I am actually not about escape, but rather about conquering. Jesus isn't coming back to just anywhere. He's coming back to here. As far as I can tell, we won't live in the clouds with a harp for all eternity. We will at least start our eternity here on a redeemed earth. Well, I suppose we will start wherever we go when we die. That's a doozy of a conversation. But when Jesus comes back here, we are coming with him to rule and reign here. I don't believe that that is the millennial reign. I know many people do. I believe that the millennial reign of Revelation is either right now or was something that happened back then. When Jesus comes, it is to reign forever. I don't know if our forever includes space travel and new planets and new galaxies, maybe whole new universes. I don't know. Only God knows. Eternity is a very long time. But your work in and about this place is holy and important. Do everything in light of this. Your work, loving your family, enjoying life, persevering through the pain. Do this knowing that the eternal kingdom of God is being birthed right here, right now. I have personally been on quite a journey regarding these things. I remember long ago standing up in front of a church in California and basically rebuking them for prospering, quote, in this world, unquote. Why weren't they focusing their entire attention on things that really mattered, like missions? But I would not give that message in the same way today. I would still invite them to participate in foreign missions and in the reaching of the frontiers, but all while strongly encouraging and affirming their dominion right where they are now. I have mentioned before that a prosperous dairyman once said to me, "Why do we do all this anyways? All these cows, all this milk, if not for the sake of giving money to missions?" As a recipient of much of that money and a missionary myself, that sounded pretty nice. But the more I thought about that over the years, the more I realized that God cares about milk. God cares about humans serving one another in ways that create better, safer, tastier, higher quality, and more abundant food. God cares about destroying famine through the work of our hands. God cares about curing diseases through the work of our hands. God cares about supplying goods and services to our fellow human beings through the work of our hands. When you go to work, you are fulfilling the command to love your neighbor. Or are you? What is your motive? What is going on in your life? I exhort you to move beyond survival to a revelation that you are about delighting the Father through delighting His children. Work is holy. The love between a man and a woman is holy. Creativity is holy. Labor is holy. Business is holy. Communication, art, media, these are holy to God. These are not evils to be tolerated. These are domains to be conquered and built up and brought into submission to the kingdom of God. It may be harder for you to grasp what I am saying than you think it is. Be more spiritual. Maybe ground deep into your soul and mind. It is a part of our culture. This is why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I am saying that when you obey God in dominion in every area of life, you are being more spiritual. So to answer the question in the title of this episode, at least the title that I have in mind while recording, should Christians focus only on spiritual and eternal things? It depends on what you mean by spiritual things. If you mean going to church, praying, witnessing to people, tithing, signing up for the usher's list, going to the men's retreat, etc., then no, you shouldn't be only about those things. Those are all good things. I'm not criticizing them, but that is not the only thing you're about. But if you realize that God wants His kingdom and His holiness to conquer everything, then in a sense, yes. Application. Open your eyes to see that the activities of this life are not inherently evil. They are a part of God's redemptive process. They are holy to Him. They are important and they matter. So be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion in everything, spiritual and eternal, as well as everything spiritual and material. I hope all this that I have been sharing makes you think, gets into your soul, and gives you hope and some new things to work on in your mind and in your spirit. And I do appreciate so much you taking the time to listen to this episode. If you have not already done so, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast. You don't want to miss a thing, do you? If you would like to give me feedback, you can contact me at gospeloveverything.com/contact. If you would like to tell the world how awesome this podcast is, you can do so on your favorite platform by visiting ratethispodcast.com/gospeloveverything or just searching for this podcast in your app. Thank you so much again and talk to you next episode. John Davis and the Gospel of Everything podcast, signing off. Thank you, friend, for taking your valuable time to listen to the Gospel of Everything podcast today. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and have more hope for the future. Make sure right now to take a moment to subscribe in your favorite app. If you don't ever want to miss a thing, please visit gospeloveverything.com and subscribe to be notified by email as well. See you again next week for the next episode of the Gospel of Everything podcast. Be blessed.